Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian. I'm Daniel Messer. If there's anything dumber and more short-sighted than the console wars of PlayStation is better than Xbox but PC beats both of them, it's the format war between digital and physical print materials. Some people rant about ebooks and will go on for an hour about how real books are better. You can make notes in real books, right in the margins, and there's something about that feeling of a real book in your hands, the smell of the paper and ink, the satisfaction of turning the page. Meanwhile, ebook advocates talk about how you can't easily search a paper book and that physical books are heavy and you can only carry so many of them because of weight and space limitations. You can still make notes on ebooks and you can easily share those notes with someone else. With an e-reader, you can throw a dozen books into your backpack and take up only as much space as the e-reader, and it weighs only as much as the e-reader. Hi, I'm a librarian who's worked in both physical and digital, and let me put what I believe to be a more expert spin on this so-called format war. When it comes to digital versus paper, no one needs to lose for anyone to win. You can have both, and it hurts no one to do so. So shut up about it. My e-reader is sitting downstairs on a nightstand next to my bed, and it's sitting on a stack of three books. If there's something beautiful about e-print materials, it's that you can have so many formats on one device. I use an iPad, and I've got e-books in various formats like EPUB and Mobi and PDF. And I've also got e-magazines that I've snagged from the public library, along with some e-comics from a different library service. I've got comics and magazines from the Internet Archive, from various websites, or things that fell off the back of a digital truck somewhere. And if your little community library is to offer a collection of print materials in an electronic format, you've got a new problem that your standard integrated library system won't solve. Because, simply put, many of them don't do well with e-content. I've got a large collection of digital books, comics, and magazines. We're talking at least five figures in the total count, and probably closer to six figures when all's said and done. That's more items in my collection than there are in some public library collections. So, how do you keep the digital print collections organized, findable, and most importantly, shareable? Easily, with the help of some fantastic open source software. This is Cyberpunk Librarian, Episode 61, Cyberpunk Community Librarian, Part 2. My name is Daniel Messer, your friendly neighborhood Cyberpunk Librarian, and welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. It just sometimes takes several weeks or months in between episodes to get something done correctly. But this is the show where we explore the intersections between libraries and technology and live that high-tech, low-budget lifestyle. And we are back, streaming on the net through the fiber and down your ear holes with geeky librarian goodness. And in this episode, we're continuing on our quest to build a community library on the cheap without getting a cheap community library. If you didn't catch episode 60, it's the one that started us off, and we talked about handling your physical goodies like books, DVDs, Blu-rays, and so on. But today, ladies and gentlemen, and genders outside and in between, we're going to talk about digital print collections. Because, you see, it's one thing to have a pile of books on the floor and lining shelves in a room with harsh fluorescent lighting. It's another thing when you're faced with a hard drive, or several hard drives, and there's only one directory on them, and that directory's name is books. And you may find yourself looking at other directories too. You may find yourself looking at a directory called comics. You may find yourself looking at a directory called zines.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another...
Because seriously, print is digital, and digital print is portable. And like many portable things, it typically gets thrown in a bucket without any organization. As the librarian, you need to bring organization to those folders, and I'm not going to lie, that's going to take some time. But that doesn't mean it has to be difficult. See, if you learn anything about working in a library, it's that so many projects aren't difficult, they're just time-consuming. Managing digital print content is one of those tasks. But putting the time aside, let's make life easier for you. Let's get your digital print collection set up to where it's organized, findable, and you can share it with your community. The software costs nothing because it's free and open source, and you won't have to wait on sharing the collection. You can work on it, add to it, clean it up, make it better, all while making it available. We're going to take on two different styles of digital print, ebooks, and the combination of digital magazines and digital comics. Because ebooks have some significant differences from the other two, and we're going to take that into account. So, let's get started. And in true librarian fashion, let's start with books. You know, as a matter of showmanship, I'd normally try to make some big deal about the software I'd recommend for handling ebooks. Something where I drop the name and drop the mic and walk away for a second to let my so-called brilliance wash over you. But the fact is, I'm not brilliant, and I've got nothing new to offer when it comes to the management of ebooks. For there is Caliber, and Caliber it has always been. Now, some of you may have heard of Caliber, and I can picture you nodding along. For those of you who haven't heard of Caliber, let me introduce you to something wonderful. Caliber, that's C-A-L-I-B-R-E, is often mispronounced as Calibre, because it's spelled in the UK styling of the word. That could be because the primary developer, Covid Goyal, is Indian and grew up speaking the Queen's English. But I assure you, the proper pronunciation is Caliber, just as in the diameter of a cylinder. Caliber is one of those free and open source projects that lays a foundation for talking about lots of other free and open source projects. That's because this software has been around for a long time, over 10 years. It's lovingly maintained and frequently updated. Sure, there are other applications and software out there for managing ebooks, yet none of them are as good or as respected as Caliber. Caliber is not only free and open source, it's 100% cross-platform. It works on macOS, Windows, and Linux, and I have to shout about this. It works the same way on all three systems. Sure, you'll see little changes to the application's Chrome based upon the operating system, but if you normally use Caliber on Windows and then sit down to Caliber on a Linux desktop, you're not going to notice a difference. It's absolutely amazing how consistent the app is across the operating systems. And this software can be run on almost anything. Got an older Windows PC? No problem. Raspberry Pi? Sure. A Mac Pro? Well, absolutely. Seems a little overkill, but you know, you do you. Of course, you'll notice some speed differences, but you'll also notice that the software just works. Caliber is, at its core, an ebook collection management tool. It handles the cataloging, the metadata, the organization, and the management. You can feed ebooks to Caliber all day, and it'll handle it. From a collection of a few dozen to tens of thousands, Caliber works a digital print collection like nothing else. Now, Calibre also supports a wide variety of digital print formats like EPUB, Mobi, PDF, AZW3, FBZ, LIT, ODT, DOCX, and plain old TXT. Seriously, Calibre supports ebook formats I've never heard of, like PML and SNB. I mean, WTF? You can almost take any text format, throw it at Calibre, and it'll handle it. So when you find yourself looking at that ebook folder full of God knows, you can rest easy that Calibre will take all of that in like stray puppies and show those files some love. Beyond handling almost any format, Calibre converts ebook formats to different ebook formats. You can turn that EPUB into an AZW3 file and put it on your Kindle. Or, conversely, you can take that AZW3 file and turn it into an EPUB so you can load it up on your Kobo. You can convert to EPUB, AZW3, Mobi, PDF, and so much more. I've got links in the show notes to Calibre's documentation where you can get the full list. It's nothing short of impressive. And conversion is non-destructive. If you convert an EPUB file to Mobi, you will wind up with an entry in the Calibre database that has the two formats associated to it. Which brings me to another point. Got a Kindle? Calibre works with that. Got a Kobo? Calibre works with that. One of those Sony e-readers? Yeah, that's fine too. iPad? Certainly. Android tablet? Of course. Let me just lay this out nice and simple. If you can plug it into a computer and the thing that you plugged in can accept the transfer of ebooks over a USB cable, then you can pretty much bet that Calibre supports that. But really, for this librarian's opinion, Calibre absolutely shines when it comes to collection management. See, so long as you're starting from the most basic information, you can get the best metadata and apply it to your ebooks. Say you've got a book, and let's just say it's called, I don't know, Celtic Wicca by Jane Rayburn. You don't know anything else about this book. You don't know the publication date. You don't know the publisher, the ISBN. You sure as hell don't have a summary. No problem. That's fine. With a working title and a working author, Calibre can deliver all of that delicious metadata to you. You're going to get any additional authors. You'll get tags that describe the books. Reviews, summaries, and yes, even cover images, beloved. The best part is you can do this individually or in bulk. Bulk mode allows you to select multiple items and download the metadata. Now, when you do that, you'll have to go through that list one at a time because Calibre really wants to make sure it's got the right stuff, and the only way it can do that is you have to confirm it. But the list is created and managed for you. Just select some books. Tell Calibre to get the metadata, and metadata you shall receive. The only time I've ever been unable to retrieve anything is when I'm looking at something that's obscure or not normally available in print, like a doctoral thesis or something. Now, I don't know what kind of collection you might be dealing with, but I've got enough ebooks where I need to break things down into specific groups to provide some separation and general organization. After all, it makes no sense to have a book on Python programming sitting alongside true crime books that are right there next to the science fiction. Once again, I don't use Dewey cataloging because the Dewey Decimal System is a goddamn garbage fire burning on a garbage barge floating outside in a New Jersey harbor. So my collections look like art, biography, children's, computers, cooking, and so on. Calibre handles that just fine. You can create multiple libraries, which are really just multiple collections, and then drop ebooks in there. You can switch between them via the quick switch option under the languages menu. So feel free to create multiple collections. That's only going to make things easier to find. But if Calibre has a killer feature, it's the built-in web server. Yeah, you heard me. Calibre has a web server, and it is freaking awesome, isn't it? Everything you do on the back end of Calibre, all of that metadata, all of that curation, all of that collection creation and management, it can be shared to your community through Calibre's web server. You can lock things down even if you want to, and you have two levels to do so. There's a librarian level, which has more privileges than the user level, and you can set them up with a password, and Robert's your father's brother, you have an online ebook collection. Users can log in and download anything you allow them to. With your Caliber-powered website, your users can search for books by almost anything available in the metadata. The library is presented with cover images, so you can view the collection via covers or as a more detailed list. Oh, and remember how I said that ebook conversion will present you with multiple versions of the ebook in whatever format you've converted to? Yeah, that holds true for the website. If you've got an ebook that's available in Mobi and EPUB, then Mobi and EPUB are available for download. But hey, maybe someone doesn't have an e-reader, so downloading an ebook isn't a great option. Maybe they only have a laptop. No problem. They can read the ebook right there in the web browser. On the back end and on the web server, Caliber offers powerful e-reading features. This not only allows for e-reading through the browser, but your patron can see what the book is like before downloading it. Now, setting up a Caliber web server may take a little doing on your side of things. You may need to run some port forwarding in your router, maybe set up a dedicated server, or whatever. Your mileage will vary, as they say, but if you can set up your router to allow incoming traffic for given ports, then you can get this Caliber web server up and running in minutes. Caliber allows you to specify a port for its server. And I set up a port forwarding on my router to take traffic from an external port and send it to another port on a given device on my network. Ebooks tend to be pretty small in size unless you've got gigantic PDFs or something, so you shouldn't need to worry too much about the download traffic and bandwidth, but hey, each library is different, so take a look at your collection and know what you're looking at. Unless, of course, yeah, you've got that extensive ebook collection that's a six-figure item count, but I wouldn't know anything about that. Now, if Caliber has a failing, it's that I don't think it's the best platform in the world for other kinds of digital print files. If it's an ebook, the answer is Caliber. If it's a master's thesis or a doctoral dissertation, the answer is Caliber. If it's a monograph, the answer is Caliber. But when it's a digital zine, or digital magazine, or digital comic, I think there's a better way. Once again, this isn't bagging on Caliber. As it happens, when it comes to organizing and sharing MP3 files, Caliber sucks. And that's because Caliber isn't really designed for that kind of thing. Just like I don't think it's well designed to handle digital comics and magazines. So when the question is digital comics and zines, what's the answer? Well, I won't keep you waiting. At least not longer than a few seconds while we take a quick music break.
We're having a tough time remembering what this is all about. Well, give me a chance to get fitted.
You get a bang out of watching this?
When it comes to the so-called death of print, I lament the passing of magazines more than most printed materials. Long ago, I used to work for a grocery store, and I kinda hated it. It was a job that was supposed to be a temporary thing that got me through college so I could go back to working in a library. I was still doing library work on the side, but it was volunteer, self-directed kind of stuff. This temporary grocery job was supposed to last for a few months, and then I'd go back to doing what I really enjoyed. And I guess that on the cosmic timescale, it was a short-lived job, and that I finally left some 30 months later. During that time, I found solace in magazines. I loved flipping through video game and science magazines, reading the articles, digging the art and imagery, generally enjoying the content. Short articles, longer reviews, lists. It all made my brain happy, and it was just $5. But even at that time, I knew there was an issue with, well, the issues of these magazines. And they're disposable. I mean, with a few exceptions, magazines aren't really printed to be archived or collected, though some libraries do collect and archive them. The process isn't always easy. Magazines fall apart pretty quickly, and while binding them together in hardcover volumes helps, you're at the mercy of cheap paper that wasn't exactly acid-free. Take a look at some older magazines, and you can see that the pages are literally fading away and sometimes literally eating themselves. I was, for a while, a de facto serials and magazines librarian at one of the libraries I worked for, and I appreciated the transience of these things. Magazines give you a cool and just an interesting snapshot of a given time. What was newsworthy? How long was it newsworthy? What were the ads like? What did they think was important? How long did that importance last? As a librarian, there's a reason I approach magazines, comics, and zines differently than books, and it comes down to a single word: periodical. Now, that's a word steeped in library jargon, so yes, I'll happily explain my biblioterminology and BS. Magazines and comics have an aspect about them where they are usually published in a series, possibly continuously, maybe for decades. There is a new publication in the series at more or less predictable intervals, and they're released periodically over time. Hence the name, periodicals. Hell, the National Geographic magazine has been around for over 130 years, and the first issue cost over $13 when you adjust for inflation. Now, fun fact, not all magazines are periodicals, and some books are totally a periodical. In the library world, you'll find that those Fodor's books, the travel books, those are often cataloged as periodicals because they release a new one every single year. And some magazines are just once-offs, special editions, or, more importantly, zines. Self-published zines especially may only have a single issue, but their format, content, design, and form factor lends themselves to be more like a magazine than a book. So there are exceptions to what defines a periodical, but the definition mostly holds for the majority of magazines, comics, and zines. So this format requires something a bit different than what is Caliber's specialty, which is why I highly recommend COMGA. COMGA is a free and open-source organizational software aimed at digital comic collections. It's completely cross-platform and will run on Linux, macOS, and Windows platforms. From what I can tell, it will run on a Raspberry Pi, but some issues have been reported here and there, so you might give that a shot with that in mind. At its core, COMGA handles e-comics, e-manga, and e-bande dessinée like a pro. Beyond that, it's great for e-magazines, which makes some sense, really. After all, comics and magazines are kind of the same thing. It's just the content within that's different. And you'll totally find comics that are the size of magazines. Wow. It'll manage most any content presented in CBZ, CBR, PDF, and EPUB formats. And while many of you may be familiar with PDF and EPUB, CBZ and CBR might be something new. They're very simple formats of digital images, usually scans of comic book pages arranged in a specific order and then compressed into ZIP or RAR archives. Is it RAR or RAR? It's one of those things that for years I have seen this word and never heard this word. I say RAR, but some people say RAR, so at least you know what I'm talking about. But in the end, a CBZ file is a comic book ZIP file, and a CBR is a comic book RAR file. Unlike Caliber, COMGA doesn't really have a standalone front-end application. On its own, COMGA is a Java app that runs from a command line, but hey, don't let that scare you, because the documentation lays out exactly how you run the app. You can get it as a jar file, or as a Docker container, and you can just copy and paste the command from the wiki. Being a Java-based application, once you fire it up, you'll do almost all of your admin and sharing work within the web browser. In other words, COMGA makes it just as easy to share comics and magazines as Caliber does with ebooks. COMGA, like Caliber, supports the creation of multiple libraries, but in this case, those libraries are more like the collections of each comic or magazine series. So you could have a collection of, say, 2600 magazine that contains all of your issues of 2600. Maybe you've got a DC collection that contains a Batgirl collection, because you can have collections within collections. And adding a collection is easy because all you do is point Kamga at a directory full of goodies. It will handle the rest, assuming that the files are supported by the software. And that includes pulling cover images from the files and displaying those in a well-designed way. But if you're looking to build a library, you need that organization, and the organization comes from your metadata. And Kamga delivers sweet, sweet metadata options for all your collection management desires. At the upper level, you can manage the metadata for title, sort title, summary for the entire collection, status, which is whether or not the comic is ongoing, abandoned, on hiatus, or ended, language, reading direction, which is an important thing when it comes to Japanese manga, and you can select from left to right, right to left, vertical, or webtoon. You can tag it with the publisher, you can put an age rating on there, and then you can add your own tags for genre and general information. Now, depending on how intense you want to get, you can drill down into the metadata issue by issue. Kamga will handle titles, issue numbers, summaries, release dates, the writers, pencilers, inkers, colorists, letterers, cover artists, and editors, along with tagging for each individual issue. Now, I do have to tell you about one big downside right now. As of this recording, Kamga doesn't currently download metadata on its own based upon your e-comics. Checking out some issues and requests on their GitHub, it looks like something that's under consideration, but it's just not here yet. So I will have some links in the show notes for websites you can hit up for comic metadata. As I've said, Kamga isn't just a great collection management and sharing system for your comics and manga. It can do the same for your magazines, too. I'm working on a few projects here and there, writing things, and another book because I just can't stop for some reason. And part of these projects involve finding magazines and articles. Now, yes, believe me, I know, there are magazine databases out there, and I have access to lots of them. I can look up magazines all day, but magazine databases don't exactly catalog, archive, and index all of the magazines out there. And with the stuff I'm working on, that's especially true. So, occasionally I will happen across a collection of scanned periodicals that are relevant to my needs and interests, and if I can grab copies of them, I absolutely will. Mostly because I don't know if those magazines will be there again if I need them. Hell, I will slurp the entire collection if I can. Well, that means I'm going to have piles of digital stuff in that digital bucket. And I don't like that. Don't like that at all. I would like to at least make a digital library out of them. So I'll do some arranging, put them in a directory, create that new collection in Kamga, and then point that collection at that directory. It can take a few minutes for Kamga to analyze the files, create the cover images, and so on. I mean, it's not instantaneous, but that makes sense, especially if you're dealing with PDFs and stuff. And that brings me to sharing the collections. Kamga has a slightly more advanced system for sharing than Calibre, and by slightly, I mean there are only one or two more options available to you. This is nice because you will spend your time working your collection and not administrating software. To use or access a collection, you have to have an account on the Kamga server. Granted, this could be a generic account shared with multiple people, or you can set up individual accounts if needed. Either way, you have three options when it comes to accounts. An admin, who obviously can do anything with that server. Download permissions. This allows the user to download copies of the magazines and comics to their own systems. And page streaming, which allows the user to read the comics or the magazines online. That's right, Kamga also has an online reader, and while it's not going to be as powerful as a dedicated comic reader, it will certainly allow you to read comics and magazines right there in the browser. Once again, this is great if your community has limited access to things like tablet computers or e-readers. Like Calibre, So long as they can access the website and you allow for it, they can read what's available. Feel free to hit up the show notes in your podcast app of choice or via the website at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. I'll have some screenshots for you so you can see what my own Calibre and Comga libraries look like. And hey, if you're looking for digital print management and, you know, sharing solutions, I am personally vouching for both of these programs. I'm not just creating show content here. I've been running a Calibre library for close to a decade, and I've had Comga running for well over a year. It's a new bit of kit, and I initially installed it just to give it a spin. I think it came up in some subreddit somewhere. It's like, oh, well, I've got nothing to do for the next hour. Let's see if this is worthwhile. And it really says something that I never bothered to uninstall it. And that about wraps up this episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. And hey, give these two things a try. It doesn't really cost anything but time. And, you know, even if you're not looking to create your own community library, if you've got a collection of digital print in any sort of form, like an ebook or comics or whatever, either one of these things are just useful for organizing your collection just for yourself. So check them out. Of course, there will be links in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. You can check that out for links to some screenshots, too, so you can kind of see what this stuff looks like before you snag it. The tune you're currently digging on is Downtempo Gangsters and Time Thieves. Everything you heard today in the show was from Smooth Genistar and their album Music for Sleepless Cities. I kind of happened across this thing on a website. You'll find links in the show notes, of course. And it's just like, wow, this is wonderful stuff. If you're into downtempo and lo-fi, yeah, you need to check out this entire thing. Links in the show notes, beautiful stuff. Earlier on, you heard Bars and Hookers, Tokyo Codes, Sleepless in Reykjavik. And as always, the opening track is Belly Dance at Ibisu by Ryo Miyashita. Cyberpunk Librarian is hosted by the Internet Archive at archive.org. They're doing so much good stuff over there at the Internet Archive. It makes a librarian's heart very happy to see the projects that they're working on. I already told you about the Flash stuff, but you gotta go check that out if you haven't seen that later. Because, hey, you don't even need Flash, because Flash is dead. Long live Flash. At least, thanks to the Internet Archive, Flash will live a little bit longer, if not forever. You can dig on some games, dig on some of the cartoons, and the weirdness that just came out of the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s with Flash. I mean, it was a weird time, and there was some strange stuff. Absolutely mind-bending stuff. Check it out at the Internet Archive at archive.org. If you'd like to reach out to me, you got a question, maybe you got an idea for the show, I certainly encourage you to do that. There are several ways you can do that, as a matter of fact. I'm back on Mastodon. The instance that I use is up and running, but I got two of them now because I really, really like it. And special thanks to the Gibson at hackers.town for allowing me to join that Mastodon server as well. So you will find me at Cyberpunk Librarian at Glamorous, that's glamr.us. You'll also find me at Cyberpunk Librarian at hackers.town. I post different things in different places, so you're going to find more geek and tech stuff at Hackers, and you'll find more library stuff at Glamorous. If you haven't checked out Mastodon, it's like Twitter, but it's nice. But if you're still using Twitter, I am at Bibrarian. That's B-I-B-R-A-R-I-A-N. It's like librarian, but it starts with a B. And we have the good old tried and true email methodology of SMTP. And you can always hit me up at cyberpunklibrarian@protonmail.com. So let's go ahead. We're going to sneak on out of here. I will see you soon. The upside of taking so long between shows is that I had a lot of time to do all of the research, and script writing is really easy right now. I just have a pile of notes that I turn into a show, and I hope you're enjoying this. Coming up, part 3 in Cyberpunk Community Libraries, but hey, I'm going to get out of here. I'll see you on the next one. And remember, you don't have to live high tech to be low budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. Take care, all.